You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan. Loads to talk about again today, and I'll be joined a little later on by Longford's Mickey Quinn to talk about the upcoming Taltian Cup. But I'm delighted to be joined in studio today by Cavan's Mystic Mackie and Galway's, I won't say Finian. I was going to call him Having to Clue Henley, but that's a bit harsh.
It's all right.
It's all about the predictions here, and we're going to talk about a bit later on. But I think we both were a bit harsh on Keane last time, and he predicted Derry would win Ulster. He's proven to be right, but we'll get to that a bit later on. But the Taltian Cup started the weekend. Good win for Offaly and Wicklow. So, I think the Wicklow Water game probably expected Wicklow to get come out on top of that, but it's good to have the competition up and running. And obviously, Offaly came out on top against Wexford in a tight game, Finian.
Yeah, I know. Look, it started after all the furore and all the talk about it. It's up and running. Obviously, you know, a bit of a whimper of a start having two games on the weekend. Probably a lot of the lesser teams playing this weekend in the preliminaries. So, look, for Wexford, it's very hard to, you know, create the same act twice, particularly when it's, you know, it's their neighbours, or they're not far away. They're in Leinster, Wexford and Offaly. For Wexford to go and beat Offaly again, obviously Offaly were pulling the chairs off the dressing room to get out and have another crack. So it was perfect storm for John Mahan and the boys. And look, Niall McNamee, in all his years, 1-5 again, carried them over the line. You know, like they've some good players. Offaly, they've shown it in the last while with getting up to Division Two. You know, Anton Sullivan and these guys, like this is one that game yesterday could give them a bit of momentum to get forward. And Mahan will kind of, you know, like getting off to a good start, getting a win and getting a bit of momentum behind them. But you know, they'll need to, you know, down the road they'll need to add to Niall McNamee and start and get a bit of support up front. But look, a good win for Offaly. Wicklow was expected, definitely. You know, Waterford are struggling. They need more games. Yeah. That's another day's conversation. Yeah. But they, you know, they need to be going up out again next weekend playing another team to try and improve on the things. But now their year is over. You know, they're not back until January next year. That's a whole other can of worms. But look, it's up and running. There's some good ties coming this weekend. So, interesting so far.
Yeah, John Martin came out there, you know, a week or two ago. I seen he had an interview and he was almost throwing away the GPS and all the stats and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, that's my type of manager. No, you know, get rid of it, Keane. But no, it should be a good game. Now, obviously, we have Wicklow and Offaly now this weekend. So it should be good. But it's disappointing. I don't know, a bit of extra thinking going into it. We could have actually had one of them games on TV. I know it was on GAA Go for a tenner, but not many people are going to spend a tenner on it, to be honest. But you would have actually had a good few watching, I think, if it was an RT, and the hurling wasn't until 4 o'clock. So are the GAA missing a bit of a trick there by just a bit of forward thinking, really, with it, Keane?
Yeah, look, the big thing for them is they need to promote this Taltian Cup. Like, as you look at Offaly and Wexford, 1 point game, 2 point game. Like,
yeah.
3-11 to 2-13 or something like that. Like, that's an exciting game for everyone. Do you know what I mean? Like, quality mightn't be your Dublin Kerry, but like, excitement is what people want to see. Like, you know, and that's what I believe the Taltian Cup really brings, is excitement, tight games. Do you know, like, there's loads of class footballers that play for the so-called weaker counties, and they don't get the airtime. So it's up to GAA, up to RTE, TG4. You know, these companies really need to push this forward. And if it was pushed forward, it would start to be a real recognised competition. But unless they're doing that, like the likes of lads leaving squads, like we say, the down squad lads leaving squads to go to America, it's hard to argue with young lads doing that. You know, like, you're not getting airtime. Like, you're just playing, you might as well be playing challenge matches when they're not aired live on TV. Do you know what I mean? So you have to get to a semi-final of a Taltian Cup to get on to television. So it's a long old year of slogging for no real rewards, you know.
Yeah, and Cavan, your own county now, I suppose, look, they've been tipped as red-hot favourites. They're playing Down. We had a bit of a chat and we're saying it's hard to know with Down. Like, we all know they've good footballers, but there's obviously a lot going wrong up there at the moment. But would there be a bit of excitement in Cavan, just the fact that you're in a competition now that realistically, well, you're red-hot favourites for by other counties and other pundits like us talking about it. Would there be a bit of excitement because there is that opportunity to get back to Croke Park, climb the steps of the Hogan Stand again for these group of players?
Yeah, look, when you're there and you're part of the group, silverware is key. Like, Cavan are definitely good enough to be within the SAM like half of the country. But at this moment in time, I wouldn't say there's excitement. You know, it's kind of like we should. The question is, we should be up here and we're here. But as the competition goes on and all going well, Cavan progress, and if they get to a semi final, then next of all, you start to say, yeah, like we can go and win this. And then Everton starts to ramp up. Do you know, the early starts of any competition sometimes takes a bit of time for the wheels to get in motion, same as like an Ulster Championship, a Munster Championship. It takes time. But like as it gets to, we say, the quarterfinals, semi-finals, that's when you see the Tailteann Cup and everyone will start to build on it then. And just at home in that, like people are kind of like still going off, we're tight to Donegal, but we're in the Tailteann Cup. Yeah. You know, and that's just kind of, that's the reality of it, unfortunately.
Well, that's the position they put themselves in, really. Do you know, a couple of bad league performances or maybe taking their eye off the ball and you could slip through the divisions, and unfortunately having a good championship game every now and again isn't good enough. It's about being consistent all the way through. And I suppose, Finian, we're going to have London and Sligo as well. It's like a Connacht championship clash as well. And it'd be a game I'd be looking forward to watching as well, because John, they're tight enough over the league as well.
Yeah, and I suppose going back to the point on winning margins, and Keane made the point about yesterday, you know, a kick of the ball between Offaly and Wexford, you know, it was a tight game. I think there's only been five games out of 20 odd games that we've had to date that have had, you know, less winning margin than 5 points. I think the rest have all been 6+. You know, so any of these tight games we get that are, you know, come down to the stretch, that's what we want. You know, that's the excitement. I think everyone was watching the soccer yesterday and it was up and down and whatever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, like people need to take interest. I don't think a lot of people will care that Waterford are gone or that Wexford are gone today. Do you know what I mean? And that's their season over. Bar the players who train and know what it takes to. For those players, they put in the same effort as everyone else, and now they're gone as well. But that's another point. But I think, you know, as many games that we can get that are tight, I think Sligo and London, to the point, is juicy enough tie. I think London will have put it in and would have been, you know, looking forward to the Tailteann Cup, you know, over the last couple of months. Sligo, obviously, you know, their second year in this kind of project, they would have been looking at the Connacht Championship a bit more. So it's an interesting game to see how Sligo kind of bounce back from the trimming they got off Roscommon. And look, obviously, you know, London lost to Leitrim, but it was a narrow game as well. So London are off a kind of a more positive experience than Sligo are. So it's certainly an interesting game. That should be a tight one as well, which is what we want to see.
And I'm looking forward to actually talking to Mickey Quinn a bit later about it, because obviously I always find it a bit strange me talking about it, because I'm like, going, look, I was playing with Kerry, we were always competing for Sam, and sometimes it might come across as, what does he actually know about it? But it'd be interesting to talk to Mickey about it, because obviously Longford, they have a tough game against Fermanagh, but he has a couple of league titles won 2011 and 12. But this is another opportunity maybe for silverware, maybe not this year, next year, John, because you are playing teams of your own level. So it'd be interesting to see a fellow who's actually preparing for this competition, how he's preparing for it, how the squad are preparing for it. So it'd be interesting to get an intake into that. And look, I think the semi-finals are going to be on RT, and the rest of them you can stream on GAA. And look, we've talked about it before, about the image rights and the TV rights and stuff like that. They need to get this put into it. Like, and look, we won't harp on about it again all the time, but if we can get the format right, I think there's just a format at the moment that's wrong. Yeah. But on a Waterford point of view, look, they're gone from the hurling, they're gone from the football. There's no reason they can't be starting all their championships, club championships, in the next 2 weeks. And these players might get a good winter. Do you know? They might get a winter where they're not slogging around the muck in the gutter.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with players actually getting a couple of months off to...
Yeah, the problem is there, though, you know, you start the championship early and then an inter-county manager comes in and goes, oh, we've 2 months extra now here, and they'll wheel lads big back time. in too early.
Yeah.
You know, that's the killer for them boys.
Yeah, your first meeting's in September.
Yeah, and you're going, oh, you know, and it's great, like, they'll play club football and club hurling in great weather, but as for a winter off from any of my it's a new manager comes in and goes, oh, we've 2 months extra here to get fitter and faster and all this, and It doesn't happen, unfortunately.
It'd be an interesting experiment, though, to talk to a lot of people won't care about Waterford today, Waterford football particularly, you know. But it'd be an interesting experiment to see how many training sessions they did, how many gym sessions they did. They played 9 games. You know, what's the plan for the future? What's going on in a county like Waterford? You know what I mean? And get some insight into it and kind of bring it to the bring it to the public's attention of this is actually what's happening or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Because there's going to be loads of debates. Is the Tailteann Cup the answer to this? I don't know. The provincials are certainly not the answer. There have been a disaster this year. But you know, for the likes of Cavan, and I know you were on about Cavan and being close to Donegal, but like, you know, Derry went to Division 4. They have to come back. Cavan should want to win the Tailteann Cup this year, get up to Division 2 then next year. You know, I know it's another year, but when they get there, then they have to realise that it can never happen again. Cavan can never get to Division 4 again because they're down playing Tailteann Cup and they'll have had a taste of it. They probably, or they have a good chance of winning it. So, you know, it's a kick in the ass for Cavan now, but hopefully it's good learning for them where they're back to where they think they belong or they should be, as Keane says.
The realistic way of looking at it, there probably is three tiers where we are. Like, you know, like there is three tiers. That you could argue for like the likes of Cavan and Down, say maybe Longford, they'd feel they're thereabouts with the lower teams competing for Sam. And then you have teams that will really bite onto this going, Tailteann Cup is what we have. Do you know, like,
are you including Down there now just because Kevin are playing on the weekend? You're trying to take the pressure off.
No, pressure's higher now because Down seem to be down playing the whole lot, so Kevin are expected to win. So it's actually going to be a lot more difficult than previous years, because usually Kevin play Down, you'd be there going, Down should win this game, like, and now at the minute Kevin are favourites, so that kind of puts more pressure on Kevin. But like, there is potentially three tiers there, but we're getting to two tiers and there's teams that don't really care about it. You know, straight away, off the bat, there's teams that aren't caring about it. There's lads leaving a Down panel. Like, there's lads probably leaving other panels that you don't hear about. Do you know that kind of way? So it's hard to... It's not going to be a quick fix. There's definitely not a quick fix to where we are at the minute. But I'm a believer of the Tailteann Cup, but only if it gets the right press, the right push forward. And at the minute, like, it was over Twitter, I don't know who put it up, like, how bad it was organised. Like, it was within 2 weeks, it was like, this was a new format, and you're kind of like, what's going on here? You know, like, there's probably lads getting paid a lot of money to really throw their arse at it. You know, that's kind of what's been done. And it's not showing respect to any players that are involved in the Tailteann Cup. And that's very frustrating. Like, if I was playing in it, and it was kind of like, what's the format? Like, you lose to Donegal, and then you're thinking, what's the format? Where are we going forward? And then next to all, it was kind of like, well, we don't really know because they haven't told us. You'd be like, what's going on here? Yeah. You know? Yeah. So it's just showing no respect. Like, Sam is Sam, you know, exactly what's going forward. Tailteann Cup, they're just really just kind of going, oh, we'll wing it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not.
It's a box ticking exercise at the minute.
At the moment, it's a case of, we'll see if this works. If it doesn't, we'll change it next year and we'll change it. Look, and obviously, we know it's going to take time to kick off and people really buy into it. The only way you can buy into it really is by having it looking professional, by giving it the credit it deserves. Look, we're blue in the face from talking about it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I do think if we get a couple of good games this weekend, like good games now where it is tense and there's a bit of fireworks and there's a bit of tension, and I can maybe understand why they wanted to do the kind of half provincial kind of split. And
but it's still, it'd be no good. Like, Cavan Down would be an ideal game to put on TV, and then that goes and builds the Tailteann Cup. It's not on telly. We could talk about it and see a bit in the Sunday game and be like, just that was a great game.
Yeah.
The rest of the country having a clue.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it really, they're not doing anything to promote it. Like Longford and Fermanagh, another great game. I think it was a point in the game the last 2 years they played in the league. Like, the two good game, good tight games. Have one this weekend and then another next weekend. Like, that would boost the whole profile of it.
Is there any games on the tail?
No, there's nothing to the semi-finals.
You can't get people talking about something if they don't see it. That's
exactly
the be-all and end-all of it.
But it all comes down, look, the elephant in the room is the provincial councils and the county boards that are voting for the status quo and things like that. Look, it's clannish. It's we're all sound here. Forget Waterford. I don't really give a crap about Waterford.
You've an awful set in Waterford.
I know.
I have a positive set. Like, I'd love to spend a couple of days down there and see what their actually ambition is in the county and who's going to help them, who's helping them, or what's the story? Because it's just cut them off. Sure, they're gone. They're sound.
Exactly. Like, most of the problem is that,
but Donegal and Galway are all helping, you know, we're fine because we can do. We know what we're at, and we'll vote for this, that, and the other. Like, we'll
give you a separate show about Waterford.
We'll get him an Airbnb in Waterford next weekend.
Dungarvan for the summer.
We'll do the Greenway. But look, you mentioned there the provincials, they've more or less been a disaster. But they're on this week. We were all fortunate enough, we played in some provincial finals. What was your feelings the week of a provincial final? Was it nerves? Was it excitement? I'll go to you first, Finian. You'd have had mixed.
I suppose, yeah. Look, I made my debut in a Connacht final against Mayo, and it was I was actually working. I was knocking around the panel in 2004, and then I broke my hand, came back. We won the All-Ireland under 21. Didn't get picked to play in New York. I wasn't in the panel against New York, wasn't in the panel against Leitrim. I was actually working in the bar in the clubhouse, and I was out to watch the second half or whatever, back in or whatever, and we were playing Leitrim. The following day I got a phone call, you're in the panel, and then I was starting 3 weeks later in the first. I remember, yeah, it was 30 degrees and 35, that packed house and all that sort of stuff. Terrible game, but we won it anyhow. But the week of a Connacht final, it was kind of, you were used to it, because I was in the first 6 years I played, we were Connacht final, we were getting used to them. Particularly against Mayo, there was good buzz around, a lot of Mayo people. You were kind of trying to stay away from the club because there'd be a lot of Mayo people in the club and things like that. But it was a big game. Look, it was the be all and end all, because there wasn't many All-Irelands in either Mayo or Galway. You know, it was kind of, you know, it was a huge game to get to a Connacht final, and Roscommon as well, and Sligo were good at the time. So it was different. When you're playing Mayo, you were a bit more kind of carefree, because, you know, there was opposition. There was a lot more pressure when you're playing a Sligo, because
The expectation
was high and things like that. So you just try and kind of put yourself, stay away from the house, stay away from the Alfala. Do you know what I mean? Not be going to the club too much, because you're listening and everyone's got an opinion, and you do this, that and the other. But look, fierce excitement, particularly when you're riding to Castlebar or Pier Stadium. Really, really, you could feel the buzz. You get down, you know, the grass being cut, getting ready. And like, they were great games. Now, look, I know we give out about the provincial championships, but when you get to the final stage, that's when the games are good, and that's when the real excitement. And I suppose the one thing I'd miss from, the only thing I miss from not playing is Connacht final week, when you'd be getting ready and they were the big games.
Cian?
Yeah, look, at the buzz, we'll say, in the week, we weren't lucky enough to get to too many. Like, there was the big drought for us, but like,
that make it extra special though, then, when you are, does it bring about extra?
That's the thing for like the weaker counties, you know. Yeah. This, like, one in every 10 years, we'd say a Leitrim, a Cavan or whatever, get to a Connacht or an Ulster final. The build up for that, that's why the provincial final is so good, because the potential of one big win and you're there, you know, and the build up to it is outrageous. That's why it's so hard to potentially get rid of the provincials, you know. Like, going into the start of the year, Leitrim or whatever are saying, we're not going to win Sam, realistically. We beat New York, we beat Sligo, and next to all, we pip Galway or pip Roscommon. We're there. Do you know, like, London were in a provincial final not so long ago.
Yeah.
Do you know, so that's what makes it all the more difficult to discard these provincials, you know, because the potential for the real big day is there for the weaker county in that. Like, so, like, the build-up for in 18, yes, everyone was hyped, and, yeah, it was what ifs. We were playing Donegal, were at the time, I think there were in 8 Ulster finals in 9 years, so, like, we were rank outsiders at the time. But, like, from getting there in 18 has brought Cavan on tenfold in championship football, not league football, but championship football. Like, we've been in another one in 90, or what was it, 20, won it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, like, I think that the drive, it's a closer carrot to get to a provincial final than Sam. You know, you look at Sam and you always think to yourself, oh, no chance. Do you know, like, in your head, you're kind of this positive thought we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, but the doubters is still there. When you're looking at the provincial, you're playing a near neighbour and you're kind of like, we can beat them. Like, do you know that kind of way? Whereas Cavan go out to play Kerry, unless you're playing them every year in provincial championships, you're kind of thinking, oh, we're not going to beat them. Yeah. But if Kerry was an Ulster, you'd be going like, we can take these. Yeah. Do you know that kind of way? So it's just, it's a little thing like that bolsters the provincial, like. But the build up to the week is brilliant. Same as anyone else. Like, there's, you have the shite talkers too, that kind of will be harp on your ear, and you try and stay clear of them without kind of insulting them, you know. So you kind of, when you're playing, you kind of keep to yourself, you know. Yeah. Everyone's saying, oh, it's a great build up of a week. It's not really, you know. You're kind of like, oh, can't really,
you're avoiding everyone.
Can't go into the shop, like, is it next? Oh, what about Sunday, you know? And you're kind of like, oh, would you go away? Like, you know, I don't want to be talking about it. Because you're quoted saying something, oh, we should win. And then next of all, it's like, oh, Mackie says, you know.
Yeah.
And then next of all, it snowballs and it's gone wild. So you're kind of, from my thing is, like, you kind of, you turn into a recluse, you know. You're kind of like, oh, someone going to town for me. I'm not going to town. I'm not talking to anyone, you know, because that's kind of the way it is, because it's so easy to stuff to snowball, you know.
But it's funny, like, when you talk about some of these big days are so rare, you actually don't enjoy them.
Yeah.
They kind of bypass you without, because you're so focused on it. Like, and like, we were fortunate enough down in Kerry that we were in more or less every year or whatever. And it, but when I started the battles against Cork, like, genuine, only for All-Ireland final days, you will not beat Munster final day in Clarny with Kerry and Cork. Back when Cork were competing, like, absolutely electric. Like, we'd get a bus and you'd have to go through town and just bodies everywhere. And it was so handy for them to get the train down, a lot of them. Trains in the middle of town. They'd walk into town, have their beers, walk up to the match, walk down, more beers, train back to Cork, more beers. But it was just the atmosphere in Fisher Stadium. And whatever it is about Munster final day, it was always, most of the time it was nice. And then there was just extra heat coming off the crowd because it used to be packed. And you'd actually know the Cork crowd had their own sections as well, so you knew exactly, so they'd actually always be behind the tunnel in Fisher Stadium, so when you're coming out and when you're going in at half time and stuff. But the last couple of years, obviously, when Cork fell back and Munster probably wasn't as competitive as well, it took it away from it. But it is funny when you stop playing and you think back to Jesus, you avoided life for the week of it, just
except
in case
when you're working in the bank.
Oh, the bank. The bank was a nightmare.
Everyone is waiting. There's one guy waiting in the queue for you.
Yeah.
You can see him. No. You can see him a mile off.
They'd be cashiers who can't. No, I'll wait for your man.
And the Monday was worse if you lost, because we're waiting for this.
Did you see that finish? The Monday. He never made a Monday after a Connacht final.
Or the Tuesday.
I can go Wednesday.
Wednesday at best.
Yes.
But it's kind of lost now, I suppose. Yeah. Look, with you know, there's in the last 14 years, 8 teams realistically have had a chance of winning provincial titles. You know, the 3 in Connacht, the 3 in Ulster, and Dublin and Kerry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, Leinster final won't be full. Munster final won't be full. Connacht final, there'll be a good crowd, I'd say, and there'll be a big crowd up in Ulster as well. But
the Munster final, it's down in Clarny. And look, I'm not going to go into price. It's €45
for the match.
€45, yeah.
That's mental.
Crazy.
You get to a Premier League match from that.
Yeah. And I ended up going, like, you're trying to encourage crowds to go to games. Look, I don't know what it is for kids or whatever, and we'll talk about the Munster final a bit later on, but I was chatting to one of the boys on the way up here and I said, that's €40. He goes, no, it's 45.
But the biggest problem with that is that the Leinster final might be a different price.
Yeah.
And the Ulster final will probably be less.
Yeah.
And the Connacht final will be somewhere in the middle. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand how it's all, like, it's not across the board. I know that comes back to provincial councils making their own tea, you know?
Yeah, and it's another thing of, we're trying to encourage people to go at the provincial championships, bar Ulster and Connacht, no, in fairness, is competitive, but they're dying of debt and you're trying to get people to go to them, even though the games have been one-sided, and you're charging whatever they're charging.
So they probably know that Limerick haven't been in one in a while, and next of all, they're going to skate, like, going, we'll pull on these boys, they're going to go, because they think Limerick might be in one for another 10 years. Now, they could be, they're making great strides, like, but they're probably going, like, oh, Limerick people are going to go, we'll go to this.
Yeah.
€45, that's chronic money. As you said, then they get their few beers on the train. But it's expensive all day.
That's just one person, like, so. Yeah. But we'll go to the Connacht final, because I tipped Roscommon at the start. I'm delighted with that.
That's an easy, like, he's seen the easy route to a final, so he could sit here and go, I got to a final.
He's always forward thinking. You need to map it out.
Cuteness.
I'm no duh. So I'm still sticking to it, Roscommon. And I know you'll be thinking differently.
No.
Jesus. Get rid of him. He's not going to give us no truth today.
Kerryism is rubbing off of me. Yeah.
I genuinely, I have a fierce time for Roscommon now. That'd probably make a fool of me now. But I think they're one of the few who can change their style of play in the middle of a game to a running or a kicking style. I think going into it, they're after 2 wins in a row against Galway, and they might say the first league game. Mm. Still 2 in a row, they're going for 3. And I think sometimes that brings a few bits of doubts into teams' minds. And if Roscommon get a start, can Galway go, can they get it together? Look, you'll know more. You'll probably know more about the mood up there. I'm presuming Galway will stick to that defensive structure, which worked well for the majority of the game against Mayo.
Yeah, do you know what? It's a massive Connacht final. I'm actually going to blow it up, giving out about the provincials, but this is a huge game for both counties, a massive game, because I think if the winner kind of gets ahead in the pecking order, I think if Roscommon win, that puts them ahead of Galway. You know, next year you're looking at Mayo, Roscommon, Galway. You know, it puts Galway back, and it really puts Roscommon in the frame. It's a massive game. Obviously, there's going to be a backlash from Galway. There's going to be there's a lot of siege mentality given they've beaten us twice this year and things like that. But they've been interesting games over the last while. A lot of Connacht finals, a lot of FBD finals, league matches. Like, it's a huge rivalry now between both teams. So there shouldn't be anything spared. I hope the weather is good, because as we know, Pier Stadium can be a disaster if the wind is blowing and it's two separate halves. But I do think, look, from a Roscommon point of view, they've improved great, you know, hugely. I think they're looking to consolidate themselves as a Division One team, and really, because they've fallen back, they really want to get up there now, and they've got the players to do it. Definitely got the players to do it, and as you say, they can change their system. I think the big thing for Roscommon this year, and I mentioned it before, is their wing forwards. Yeah. Like, if Kieran Murta and Kyle Heenan are your wing forwards, you're looking at shooting the lights out, because those two boys can score from anywhere. You know, they're probably two really good inside forwards as well. So that kind of sets out where Roscommon are going here, particularly with the wind in Pier Stadium. If you've got six kickers that can kick from around the 45 and you get room, then you're in a good space to put up a big score, because, like, you don't want too many workers in the first half. You want them in the second half. So I don't know, will Anthony Cunningham look at that, maybe changing up with a Kilroy or someone in the second half to start running the game, as you say, to change halfway through. But they have the weapons. They have Jeremy Murta coming off the bench there. They have, you know, Keane McKeown has found his form. So they're going to trouble us. From a Galway point of view, haven't heard much, to be honest. It's been very quiet. You know, you'd send
you
the odd
anyway.
No, I haven't heard a thing. I think against Mayo we got it right. We you know, two sweepers, Kieran Malloy and Dylan McHugh sitting back. You know, we beat them on the counter. The way to beat Mayo against Leitrim, then we changed it. We didn't have a sweeper system. Now, the number 13, I forget his name, from Leitrim caused us a bit of bother, you know, and they were letting in long ball that causes a bit of bother when we didn't have that defensive shape. So, look, we obliterated Leitrim with our forward play and things like that. But it'll be interesting to see on Sunday how we go. I think we should go with what we went against Mayo. I think we should keep it tight and try and beat them on the counter. If I was involved, that's what I would be saying. But look, PJ will maybe have a hybrid. He might have one at the back and maybe push up on all the kickouts as well. So look, it's going to be an interesting game. The midfield battle is going to be huge. It's going to be huge. You'll have Enda Smith, Paul Conrad, really good players knocking around there. Comer will be in and out, you would think, as well. So look, it's got the makings of a thriller. I hope it doesn't fall flat in its face, but they're expecting a big crowd in Salthill. If the weather is good, there'll be carnival atmosphere. So I'm not going to give a prediction yet. We're not ready for that.
Later. I'll catch you later.
Roscommon by four.
But Anthony Cunningham was saying during the week, Cian, that he doesn't think the two league games will have a bearing on this championship game. Is he just playing games there? Or?
To an extent, he probably is writing it off a wee bit. Like, both teams kind of rested players, because in the league, I think Galway were already promoted. Yeah. So they passed kind of no remarks. And then in the league, finally, you kind of had Mayo down the line, you know, in a week or 10 days or something like that. So it was kind of like, what's our aim here, you know? So he's probably right that he doesn't want his players reading into it too much and stuff like that. But like, both teams have outrageously good forwards. Like, that's no one can question how good their forwards is. And probably Roscommon and Galway defenders are probably going to say, what does Mackey know? But like, defensively, both teams are under a wee bit of pressure. They need that extra man back, do you know, that kind of way. So it's nearly who, if you dominate around the middle in most games, you'd be thinking, we'll win this game. But if you dominate around the middle and Roscommon play defensive or Galway play defensive, like, both teams are brilliant on the counter. So the question is, like, do you want to win the midfield battle or not? You know, unless you get it in early, you're starting to play over and back. And like, both teams are really good at this blanket defence that was brought in, we'll say, in Ulster years ago. Well, like, both teams have really brought it to their own, and they've outrageous pace breaking out. So, like, it is going to be it has potential to be, if it was let be a shootout, it'd be a spectacle like no other. But I can see it being kind of one of those games, cautious, pedestrian,
slow burner,
you know, and when one team goes maybe three or four up next to the ball, bang, we have to go for this, and then it'll open up. So I think first half, it'll be a slow burner, but when you get into the second half, one of the teams is going to have to come out from this mold, defensive mold that they have, and next of all, you've a real good championship.
A couple of good scores early on from distance might change.
Put pressure on, yeah.
You have to push out, and you've got likes of Murta, Heenan, Conroy, Shaney can kick from distance. Do you know what I mean? Johnny Heaney. So, if we get a couple of early scores from the 45 with the wind, then the teams have to come out. The defence has to open up a bit, and that could change the way the game goes, you know. So, it'll be interesting to see.
But both teams, have real confidence of beating other. Do you know what I mean? The way I always looked at it, Galway always feel they can beat Mayo. Roscommon then struggle against Mayo.
Yeah.
But Roscommon have zero fear of Galway. Mm. Zero fear.
Galway have lost the last three kind of title finals.
Yes.
Bound to play on the mind this moment.
Well, we've only won two kind of finals in 14 years.
Yeah.
If you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
So it's a huge game
just
for us.
It just adds extra pressure. I still think, I know what the talk is above, but it's one of them, one day I could be going Galway, the other day Roscommon. I'm going to stick to Roscommon. I've liked what they've been doing, the way they've gone about their business. But I sometimes think bringing that baggage into a game, if it doesn't start well, or let's say Galway can't get Shane Walsh into the game or Comer into the game early, or maybe Conroy has a rare day where he's not clipping him over for 40 yards, that, not this again.
Yeah.
That's where the baggage kind of kicks in. I suppose we were saying it there a few times, when Shane Walsh, Comer and Conroy, if three of them are playing well, it's easier for everyone else because your three main boys doing it. But if one or two of them is a bit slogan into it, is that doubt going to creep into the rest of the team?
We need those three boys playing well. Simple as that. And
if they can get on the scoreboard early,
100%.
Just do something good early.
And Sean Kelly as well. Yeah. Sean Kelly is an absolute machine, but is Sean Kelly going to be stuck in on Donny Smith, or how are we going to use him? His against Leitrim the last day, powering forward, setting a point, setting up goals, that's his game. And look, he can mark as well, but I suppose if he's stuck in marking a Donny Smith, or he has to go back on a Jeremy Murtha, and if we do take him out of there, are we, robbing Peter to pay Paul? It's a tough one, because against the wind, particularly in Pearce Stadium, if we have Sean Kelly going forward with Shane, Johnny Heaney, do you know what I mean? Finian O'Lee, then we have a lot to... Roscommon will have a lot of questions to answer if we can get Sean Kelly going that way, but we need him back there as well. So he's the captain, he's the leader. So that's a predicament we're in, but we do need those four players. Those four players play well, we have a right chance.
And Keane, I suppose Roscommon, if they get over the line, how far can they go? They're not really in the conversation for an All-Ireland, but you win Connacht there, and Connacht is competitive. You can't turn your nose up to it, and I know they played Kerry the weekend.
Yeah, look, at Roscommon nearly, it affects them more going into Croke Park than probably other counties, and Roscommon can beat anyone in any provincial stadium around the country. It just seems like Croke Park causes them serious issues, and the way they play, you'd think it'd suit them, loads of space for their forwards, but it just comes back to defensively. And you spoke about Kerry over the last 2 years, defensively is where they get let down, and when you're on Croke Park, if your defence isn't up to it, you will get absolutely handed a beating. That's why Mayo are so good when it comes to Croke Park. Man for man, pound for pound, they can actually pick lads up one on one. That's why Mayo can actually come to their milk in Croke Park, where other teams, then this blanket, this extra cover, it doesn't work. So unless they can sort out the issues, and Galway the exact same, unless the issues can be sorted out defensively for both of these teams, they will struggle to kick on and win Sam, because Dublin come to their milk in Croke Park because they have loads of space and they have pace and power and defence, defensively, it's a great spot for a forward in Croke Park when you've pace and power, but defensively I'm sure it's a long old day. You'd know better than either of us, but it's a long old day in Croke Park with 30 yards in front of you, and you're kind of where are we going here? Yeah, do you know? Yeah, so unless yeah. unless you're good defensively, to get out of Croke Park yeah. with a win, you're under severe pressure. Yeah. And some of the biggest teams and best teams in the country have found that. Do you know, like Tyrone go up there and they're so defensive mindset's yeah. perfect. The better Kerry team that was tipped to comfortably winning on yeah, Ireland, yeah, you know. Yeah. So,
but it's another one there. Like one. You can go into Croke Park and play defensive, but unless it's a system that you know, like the back of your hand, you might as well not.
It takes a lot of work.
A lot of understanding. If it's a big game, there's a big crowd. You don't hear anyone anyway.
But it's very difficult. Like your energy levels will be sapped trying to play defensive.
Yeah.
Like unless you can man on man just beat your man. Like a defensive setup, Barrett would say Donegal back in the day, defensive setups always found out in Croke Park because the ball has moved around so much. You're running from Billy to Jack, and next of all, 60 minutes into the game, your legs are hanging, no matter how fit you are.
Yeah.
And then they kick on. So, like, unless you can go man for man in Croke Park, now don't get me wrong, you get the extra bodies back, give a hand, but a defensive setup, like, is found out in Croke Park, and that's the beauty of the big pitch. And
most teams do. It's counter-attacking game we're in now at the minute. Most teams do it, but some teams do it and come up with it the week of match. Say, look, we're going defensive. We're putting these 12 and 10 back. But like a Derry, who have put like every minute of every hour, Galway under Kevin Walsh, put every second into this to get it right. Do you know what I mean? So when you were in the defensive shape, you knew where you were standing. You were full back line were in front. You know, the wing backs were in tight. You know what I mean? You knew where you were.
Yeah.
Whereas just being back is tokenism, as Keane says. It's a waste of time, you know? So, look, it needs work. But Roscommon lost two really good defenders when they were on the cusp. Neil Collins and Sean Maluli left the panel. Yeah. Two of their best defenders in the last 10 or 15 years left the panel when they were really coming to the fore about 4 or 5 years ago, which was a pity. So, like, they never really replaced them. So now they're into kind of smaller players. You know, David Murray's Tigerish, but he's small. And then they've got Daly, who's small as well. So, look, it's interesting, but Keane's right. They do have the forwards, but see what happens at the back.
One word, prediction.
Galway, I have to stick with Galway from the get go. I like the way they play.
Finian, you can't go home if you don't say Galway.
Yeah, Galway. Galway in a tight game, I'd say. Galway in a tight game. Just have to get over the line in this one. So I think we won't leave behind us. Hopefully not.
I'm gonna stick with Roscommon.
Of course you are.
Don't get sour now. Look, I said him at the start, I'm gonna stick to them. We're gonna go up to Ulster now. Derry, Donegal. It's going to be brilliant.
It's going to be probably because of the backroom team as well. Like you say, like Gallagher there, he knows Donegal inside out. And from the start, I liked the way Derry were going about their business. But when I watched Monaghan against Derry, Monaghan tried to beat Derry at Derry's game, you know. And when they actually slowed their attack down and were patient, they got a lot of scores, marks, frees. But when they forced the issue, next of all, that Derry would kick on and score a goal and kill them off. Donegal won't do that. Donegal will play a pedestrian. They don't care. They'll win the game 7-6. They do not care. It's all about winning. So as much as I like the way Derry play and its pace and its Everton, I just think Donegal could wear them down, keep the ball and really push it on. And
it's experience as well. Like,
yeah,
like
it's
their eighth
one,
final in 12 years. Derry's first since 2011. As good as they've been, you're going into a bit of, most of these players, the unknown. And right, they have momentum going in. But that pressure, that build up we talked about, sometimes it's out of your control, avoiding people. It's going to be interesting because they have played this free spirited style. And it's going to be tense, it's going to be tight, the atmosphere is going to... It'll be interesting how they cope with the pressure.
Yeah, it will, and I suppose Donegal are going to have to somewhat mirror Derry. Like, they're not going to leave themselves... I suppose what Kerry did in 14 against Donegal, you know, a little mirror them a little bit, kind of brought bodies behind the ball. So I think Donegal are going to do the same, and they're going to break a pace. So I hope it's not two rocks colliding in a 10-9. Situation, which would really, because then you'll have teams all over the country trying to start this crack again or whatever. But like Donegal or Derry bring everyone behind the ball, everyone. There's 15 inside the 45, they're tackling, and then they're the pace they move at McInnes, and they've got Heron up front, McGuigan up front. You know, kind of like Donegal were.
I was going to say, you know, very like Donegal. Very like Donegal.
So look, it's Donegal will have to keep bodies back and have their sweepers and stuff, but they'll want to break a pace. And I just think Keane is right. They'll have that bit more experience when it comes down the crunch with McBrearty, Ryan McHugh, Michael Murphy on the freeze. Freeze are going to be big at the weekend, you know, who slots them and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's a bit soon for Derry, you know.
Yeah, they're going to be confident going in. I think it was, to be fair, I think it was Colm O'Rourke said that he worried when they came up against maybe a better team that they don't score enough points, that they've been getting goals, but against a Donegal or a bigger county who'd probably mind the house a bit better, that the lack of scores and point kicking might cost them. They are very confident. Do you think that could be the stumbling block?
Potentially, but like Cavan playing against Donegal really opened up a can of worms for Donegal. We were talking about how good the replacement for Neil McGee was, and Paddy Lynch then took him to the cleaners. Paddy Lynch is a Cub, new on the scene, and he took him to the cleaners. So, like, Donegal have to be real wary of what's going on in their full back line. Do you know what I mean? Like, Cavan, if we had scored what we should have scored, you know, we would have been ahead, and the long high ball would have been irrelevant. Do you know? But like, they'd be conscious of that. I just feel Derry have a lot of good man markers, you know. Like, McCaig would be happy enough picking up McBrearty. Do you know, like, Killian the Gunner picked up McBrearty. McBrearty was kind of a fringe player for most of that game.
He does that a lot. He is a fringe player for a lot of games, but he comes away at 1-2 in 10 minutes.
Well, that's very true. But I just think Derry, man for man, they'll be happy enough picking up the majority of the Donegal forwards. I just don't know. Like,
I know Shane Gallen is out.
Yeah, he's a big loss. Him coming on is a breath of fresh air when he does play. It's a middle third is the big thing. Like, do you know, like, Hugh McFadden, he could do a dog in session on Conor Glass, and then Conor Glass could be out of the game. I think it always seems like you're saying Michael Murphy. I think this is the biggest game for Michael Murphy in a lot of years, because I don't think they have anyone that can actually pick him up. Now, Rodgers will try and run him up and down the field, but Murphy is so physically strong. I think Derry have players that can pick up most of the Donegal boys. I just don't think they have a man that can actually physically do what Murphy does. Like, Murphy can win the ball and spin and kick it from 40 yards. He can go inside. He can go out the field. I think that's a big thing for Gallagher. He needs to find out how he's going to pick up Michael Murphy. Whether he brings out Rodgers and picks him up. But Rodgers is one of the best players at driving out of field. So do you lose that to stop Murphy? Or, you know, that, like, Gallagher's a lot of thinking to do.
I think you sacrifice something to stop Michael Murphy.
Yeah.
Could you keep him quiet? You stop his influence on the game. But it's the more you actually think about this game, the harder it is to call.
Yeah.
Do you know? Because you'll be going down different routes, and if they do this, but if they do that. I keep getting brought back to this, it'll be a 9-all, 10-9, and then it could end up being an absolute cricket score if both teams say, do you know what, I'm going to concentrate on our own game here and play the way we are. But so much is pointing me in the direction of Donegal. They have all the experience, they've been here, players have done it, but they should have been beaten by Kevin.
Yeah.
Do you know, they haven't performed. You're always thinking there's more in them, maybe there isn't. Do you know that kind of way? Yeah, we keep saying there's more in him. There's only so many times you can say without going, maybe there isn't more in him. Do you know? And maybe the fact that Derry haven't been here will actually be a blessing. There's no pressure on him. Go out, play the game. They're on momentum. They have confidence. They're buzzing under the energy. Like, I'm going to confuse myself now, but I just think it's so hard to call.
See, Gallagher will have them buzzing.
Yeah.
That's without doubt. And he would say it didn't get the credit he probably deserved when he was with Donegal. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was all Jim McGuinness. It wasn't Anthony Gallagher. Now, Gallagher, since he's left, has proven, I bring a lot to the table. Do you know what I mean? So he will bring hunger. He'll want to prove everyone wrong. But then on the flip side, could he overthink it? Could he, you know, that's a thing. But I think it's a massive, there's not too often you could say this game is going to be won or lost on the line. I think the matchups and stuff like that is massive.
Yeah.
And how the style of play they play. Like, if Donegal look at how Monaghan went to try and beat Derry, like, they have to be looking at going a slow, methodical attack is better than a breakout. You were saying like Donegal are going to try and break out. They have bundles of pace, but like then you're going turnover after turnover after turnover. Derry don't like playing that way.
I'm going to get you to call it now. Finian.
I'm going with Donegal. Yeah, well, look, the history kind of says over the last 12 or 13 years that, you know, Donegal will get the job done. They'll know how. I think they do need, just on the point of the team, a couple of tweaks. Like, if I were the management team up there, I'd be looking at a Paul Brennan or someone that can sit back in front, maybe starting him and maybe putting Mogan to centre forward on McInnes, because Mogan can go forward, but he can also defend as well. So bit of a hybrid there. He might be better on McInnes than O'Donnell, but if they make the slight changes, they mirror Derry slightly, I think they have more firepower up front. I think Donegal will win it.
Yeah, I want Derry to win it just for a change up.
And
to prove myself right. But I just think, like, it's a massive, like, if Donegal lose this game, you have to be looking at the line and going, you have made bad decisions here. Mm. Like, the manager has to be the fall guy here, because, like, you've seen what Derry bring. They bring this energy in Everton, and you've seen how Monaghan played against them. Like, if I was a Monaghan player supporter, I'd be very frustrated with management going, like, we shouldn't have played the game this way. So if the management get it right, Donegal should win this game. Mm. But if they get it wrong and try and go toe-to-toe with Derry's energy, Derry win the game. So, I'm banking on a bit of common sense in the Donegal dressing room to know, right, we take this right down to a dull, drab affair. Not that I want a dull, drab affair, but to win a game,
That's what it's about, winning it.
So if Donegal do it right, they take the energy, just sap the energy out of Derry, and then just play at their place. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go Donegal, unfortunately.
While we were chatting, I was like going, do you know what? No, there isn't more in Donegal. I'm going to go with Derry. And then by the time you finished, I was like, no, I'm going to go with Donegal. I just think the know-how. And I do think they have that experience that if they need to spoil the game, they can do that. So, look, the three of us look like fools probably next week now.
Who's McGee tipping? Because I'm going
he's
the opposite.
He's sitting
of him
on the fence all the time.
He must have bought the fence a year. Yeah.
No room for me on it.
It needs a Derry window. Provincials.
Oh, definitely.
It would be great. And it would be, look, it'd be incredible. And the buzz that they'd have. Like, they'd be dangerous in Croke Park.
Oh, pace and power,
Just sometimes the experience in Donegal are good at like that. They can spoil and change their style as well. And look, we won't spend long on the Munster. I think it's great for Limerick, the progress and whatever. We talked about the price, €45, absolute joke. But I expect Kerry to win this by 15 points plus. And that's just there's a difference in class.
Yeah, look at,
we won't spend long dwelling on.
Would you look at Kerry? Like, Kerry now are kind of like the Dublin of the great Dublin era, their bench. I was looking at a bench against Cork. I was kind of
is stronger than some of the starters.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, you look at that team, like, if you went and said you're Dublin starting forward and the Dublin bench from back early in 2014-15 or whatever, and then you put the Kerry one, like, it's frightening.
It's very
absolutely frightening. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, the problem in the Kerry camp is the couple of lads who didn't play well the last day. Now, this is a problem for Limerick and the rest. Like, Tony Brosnan possibly played himself out of the picture. Now, obviously, there's a Kerry view from an outsider looking in. You know, he missed a couple of chances. Gainey came on. Like, they're fighting for the position, and there's Killian's plan, and, you know, there's that happening as well. So there's a lot of row. I'd say the AVBs are unreal down there. But you're right. Look, a team coming up from Division 3 playing this Kerry team, Kerry should absolutely annihilate them, unfortunately. But that's just the nature of the
beast. So three of us are in agreement there, Kerry comfortably. But it is. Look, it's good for Munster that Limerick are on the way back, but this Kerry team do look very strong at the moment. They look tuned in. I don't think they'll be caught. I actually think Leinster's going to be the same. I think Dublin incredibly comfortably.
Dublin.
And I know Kildare did alright this year. I think their celebrations in Newbridge is going to be a big, it's going to bite them.
Yeah, like, Dublin are a different animal when they get to Croke Park, because, like, as I said earlier, man for man, they can pick lads up, because recovery pace, you know, like in a big pitch, it's recovery pace and you can get your tackles in. Even if a forward sells you, he can get back to you. Like Mick Fitzsimons, when if you sell him in Newbridge, you have a shot. You sell him, you have 10 yards to go to get your shot. Mick Fitzsimons makes that 10 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, so that's where Dublin come to their milk.
Yeah.
You know, and like we everyone wrote them off, they got relegated from Division 1. Like Conor Callaghan back is worth three players. You've Conor Callaghan in there next of all. You cannot go man for man then. You have to have someone sitting in front of him. That frees up, we'd say, James McCarthy. Do you know, like James McCarthy running, that means Dean Rock's on the loop. Yeah.
He's a Rolls
Dean
Royce.
Rock, but that brings Dean Rock back to where Dean is good. Like, do you know, like Dean's not a ball winner, like a Comer
second
or whatever.
Ball.
He's
yeah.
the second ball and he's a finisher. So like one player back for Dublin changes the whole dynamic of their team. It's and like it's mad to say, like even Clifford doesn't have that influence in Kerry or McShane and Tyrone, like the or Murphy even in Donegal. Conor Callum, how he brings that Dublin team is outrageous.
Yeah, it's totally different than anyone else.
Just turns the whole thing around.
And it changes the bench as well.
Oh, massively.
Because now you have Scully on the bench to come in, an all-star. You've got Davy Byrne to come in. Their bench is a little bit stronger now than everyone spoke about. There was no names, but with James McCarthy back, Conor Callaghan back, those two now are on the bench and it makes, you know, they've three or four posters up.
Yeah. I just see, look, Kildare have forwards to cause Dublin problems. I just think defensively, unless they go very defensive at the start, I can see Dublin going for goals straight away. I think if a goal goes in and a second one goes in, I just think the heads drop and say, oh, this again. That mental baggage of carrying all the past defeats, I think Dublin by 10. And I could, that'll probably come back to bite me. I just think defensively Kildare don't have it.
Yeah, look, Dublin, like the chances they had in Newbridge that day, like I think Dean Rock had a chance to tip it in and I think the keeper got a hand in and just slapped his hand.
Just really off the boil.
Like,
they're back to doing basics really well. They look focused. And I have heard of people who know lads playing that they were really cranky about Newbridge getting beaten. The over-celebrations they called it.
They had a massive training camp and I'd say bets were off over there.
Like that, even people like us now talking about them and like we talked about poking the bear. It's going to hurt. These are proud players and they're going to go and they're going to look to make an impact. But we all in agreement, Dublin? Anyone going for Kildare?
No, I think so. Dublin. Well, Kildare have looked great strides and they'll be dangerous in the back door.
I just think Dublin are in a bit of a mood that they were not going to be caught.
Like Highland, Flynn could play well. He could clean a Dublin back, but the rest of the Dublin backs could take Highland, McCormack. Yeah. They could take them out. Like, you know, Johnny Cooper could just eliminate someone there and be done with them. You know, and Merchant the same and nothing said about it. You know, lads who were going really well in the league.
Given, you nearly could be just taken out.
Exactly, but
we're running out of time, but we had a qualifier draw this morning. Threw up a couple of tasty ones. Armand, Tyrone, Mayo, Monaghan, Clare, Mead and Cork and Leitrim. Or Cork and Louth, sorry. She's out there. They're Teltine Cup and the Sam Maguire, but the first two games, especially Armagh and Tyrone in the Gaelic grounds, fireworks.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I was delighted. Now look, they're all a bit kind of. It's funny how they were all pulled out together or whatever. But look, it's great. Tyrone Armagh.
You were saying it was probably a fix.
Are you allowed to?
Only joking.
Are you allowed to? It feels like it. Look, it's great. Tyrone Armagh, that's the game you want. That's in the Gaelic grounds as well. All-Ireland champions, that'll be a full house.
Oh,
they might even consider, I know someone was saying they might even consider bringing it to Croke Park or something like that. I don't know.
I hope they don't.
Same as that. I think you need to leave it in the grounds they're in. Fill those. Have people wanting tickets and not getting them.
Not everyone deserves a ticket.
No.
Not everyone can go.
Bring that back.
But you'd prefer to play. Like now, everyone wants to play in Croke Park, but Tyrone have played in Croke Park any amount of times.
Yeah.
But if you're playing in a stadium that is absolutely wall to wall sound, it is. There's nothing better.
Yeah.
Like 100%. You can all talk about like big massive crowds in Croke Park, but Tyrone Armagh, like, it's not going to bring it. There's not a chance. Crow unless Park, you double header it with Mayo.
Crow Park isn't full anymore until it's All Ireland final day, or unless you get a Kerry Dublin in the semi final. But that's it.
But look at Nolan Park yesterday. Nolan Park's a class stadium for matches. I don't know why they don't play enough more football matches there. They have a lovely stand behind the goal. It's really compact. Everyone is in on the pitch. Like that match yesterday, everyone was stuck in on top. They were all mixed in. It looked like really good crack or whatever. And I think the Gaelic grounds will be the same because the terrace is so close behind the goal. Like, there could be a few, like, it could be a few slaps, a few rows, a bit of crack. But, like, that's what
not
you want, you know?
It. No,
but, like,
it's frowned upon, but you love it.
But you'd have a pint after, like, do you know what I mean? And the crack would be good. But, look, if we were looking for predictions, I think there's an absolute kick in Tyrone here. I think they're 3 or 4 points going to be better than Armagh.
Yeah, look at
we'll make it quick now because we're running out of time. The
Ulster man will tell us different.
Yeah. Neither team wanted this game, like. As much as you think, you want a big game to get yourself going. They would have loved it loud. Or they would have loved something. Just get the ball rolling again. Look, it's hard to look past. Turn All Ireland champions. You have to go with them. Like,
no, but I'm going with Armagh. Donnie's going to do the business.
You know something we don't know.
I tend to do.
I definitely think Tyrone have to have too much for Armagh. Have to.
Mayo Monaghan.
Is that Mayo at home?
Mayo at home.
Mayo.
Yeah, look, you mentioned it earlier about the Mayo defence, and we've mentioned numerous times McManus doesn't get enough help off the Monaghan forward. I just think the Mayo defence will be able to do a job in the Monaghan
forward. Learning Mayo will have got out of the Galway defeat, and the four players that were missing back make, like Paddy Durkin and Rob Henley, it'll make huge difference. So I think they'll learn, they might change their style a little bit, like everyone's been kind of saying. So I think there's a kick in Mayo. Yes, there's good players in Mayo, and I think Killian O'Connor more on the legs as well.
Yeah, Mayo for me.
I'd say Mayo. Yeah, I think they have a little bit too much, and the back door nearly suits them coming.
Yeah,
coming.
Who would have thought?
You know, what about
after 10 years?
Clare and Mead. I'm going with Clare. I've always said I don't think Clare ever get credit. Consistently Division Two the last number of years. Cullum Collins, the job he's done there is incredible. And Meade aren't going well. People were surprised that they got such a beaten by Dublin. And I was there, why was they surprised?
Anyway, yeah. Definitely not.
I heard a few Meade people on the radio on the build up to it, and I was there going, where are they getting this optimism from?
Meade people, this is
but
coming
from
Cameron.
But they had a bad league as well. Like.
Meade people see the positive in the team the whole time. Like this, they're thinking back in the late 90s, early 2000s when they were brilliant. Meade at the minute are, like, they're Talchin Cup esque team, like they're kind of that middle tier we were talking about earlier.
They could probably do it winning a Talchin Cup.
Yeah, that'll suit them better.
Get a winning mentality back.
Like Clare, the bad loss though, Clare against Limerick, you know, they would have been thinking, we get over Limerick and we kick on.
I think that's what caught him.
Possibly, yeah. Mm. Yeah, look, you'd be thinking.
Or maybe they are hitting the end of this
curve.
Yeah.
I'd be going Clare. But it is very, very tight.
Yeah, I think it'd be tight.
Both very, very level pegging game.
Yeah.
And Cork v Load. I was chanting a good few Cork people over the weekend, and they were hoping for either Clare or Load. And when I was like, wishing for Load is a dangerous one. But they're at home.
Where's home?
you're throwing out a couple of dingers.
Turner's Cross. Yes. Jesus Christ.
But I think they'll have too much from. I think that bit of pride, I think they'll have taken an awful lot from the Kerry game. And I think they'll have too much for.
I'm going for Loud in this one. I think the experience, the Mickey Hart factor, and I know we've spoken about it before, they've had a great year. The worrying thing about Loud this year was losing to a team in Leinster after the year they've had, getting well bet by Kildare and then getting well bet in the qualifiers. So I think this is a lovely carrot for Loud that they didn't get one of the big teams, and they can finish their year in style. If they win this, this shows huge progress in Loud. I think, you know, they've got good enough forwards to trouble Cork, and a system. Mickey Hart will have the system in place. Like, I just think if they can win this, I think they can win it. I think it's in Cork, but sure, look, Cork are where they are, and there's nothing between the teams at the minute.
No.
Yeah, I think Cork should have too much for Loud. Like, I think Loud definitely have made great strides, but I think if Cork play even a fraction how they played against Kerry, you'd have to be thinking they've more than Loud.
Yeah.
Like Loud, don't get me wrong, have kicked on and a brilliant year, but if you were a Cork man, you'd be really hoping to beat this team. Like Sam Mulroy, yes, quality footballer, but like there has to be a man in Cork that can nullify him, and then next of all, it's an open playing field because he's kicking the majority.
You have Grimes and Byrne as well, who are going well. But no, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
On form, it should probably be Loud, but I just, and maybe we're getting blinded by the how Cork should be doing better. But look, I'm going to stick with Cork, and it's kind of out of a Kerry thing as well. I'm hoping that they can kind of get the show back on the road a small bit, and I think the GA needs them as well. But
I think it'll be tight either way.
It'll be a good game.
All four are tight games.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for with G Lads. So thanks very much for joining me. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Longford's Mickey Quinn. Hi, Mickey. How are things? You're gearing up for the last couple of weeks of school.
Good, yeah, all good. Thanks, Darren. Yeah, on the wind down now, and wind up as well. Fingers crossed. Champo week, so nice time of year when you're playing ball, and hopefully the weather picks up.
Yeah, we could do with a bit of weather. Before we go into the game, I just want to congratulate you. 100 appearances there recently for Longford. Must have been a big moment for you, the club, I suppose, and your own family.
Yeah, look, it was one of those things that it actually came about from just trying to tot it up myself and see in the past, geez, how many games have I played and how long have I been about? Because I remember looking back at Aidan O'Shea when I think he hit 130 or something, or 150. And I was like, same age, and I was just looking to see what was the difference in maybe your top counties and counties further down the line in regard to playing games with your county. Yeah. So it was just interesting to see the bit of a gap when you want to play games at that level, league and championship. So, but yeah, it's nice token, and one of those that it's nice to have. And it's something that probably every county you'd love to see them doing, having probably chalking down everyone's games and see who's been around the most and played. Looking at Paul Barden, Dermot Brady, these guys that have been around for a long time for Longford, and you'd love to see what they have. I think Paul, or met Dermot, and he was saying that he could have been 17 years playing, so I think he's well past the 100, maybe the 200.
But it is a nice gesture, and like that, it is something that should be celebrated. You know, when fellas hit certain milestones, that there is a bit of a token there. Because I remember when I saw it, I started thinking, how many games have I played for Kerry? Actually, I didn't look too much into it. But it is something that should be celebrated as well. And you mentioned it there about you're playing it to play games, league and championship, and obviously the Taltian Cup now this weekend. And How were your feelings about the Taltian Cup as a whole when there was talks of this competition coming in?
Yeah, look, I've probably been for it from the beginning. Like, I probably, in one sense, looking at it with a head for myself, that, you know, from my own game, I think definitely, like, I always wanted to, you want to play against the best, but you kind of, when you do get that opportunity to play against the best, you want to be in a position that you can compete. And I think there needs to be probably ways of developing and improving from year to year, and probably long term. And that's something that, look at playing your Dublins or your Kerrys or your top teams, that on any given day, this kind of thing, that you might put it up to them, but, or even put it up for 20 minutes or half hour, 40, whatever it is. But there's not as much development opportunities in games like that. And I think from a holistic point of view, need to be looking 3 to 5 year plans, especially for the likes of Longford, that okay, there you have a Taltian Cup, and albeit this year it's knockout, but next year I think the plan is a group stage, is to play more games, and then teams can develop and have a target or stepping stones to actually move up through the ranks, whether it be in the league and then push through the Taltian, have a couple of years, maybe 1 year good in Taltian to push on maybe and get games in the qualifiers at Sam Maguire level. But I think there's more opportunity for more teams to develop. Like, I think the Super 8s, when it came in, that just widened the gap, in my opinion, from your top 8 to everyone else. And even in that, there was probably a top 3 or 4 in that Super 8s. So I think the Taltian Cup was an opportunity for teams to try and develop long term, not from just year to year. And I think that's what's happening probably with ourselves. We go from year to year, just kind of turn up and go again and go again. And there's no development and improvement when we're doing that. It has to be a bigger picture.
Yeah, it's that was a brilliant answer, because I was there for the last while kind of going, right, I want to get Mickey's thoughts on the competition. And for the last few weeks, like on the show, we've been talking about the Talton Cup, and I'm actually excited about it as an outsider looking to watch more competitive games. And I was really keen to know your thoughts on initially and how to keep kicking it on and making this competition a real standout in the GAA calendar. And even the way you talked about it there, you're right, like these games of playing, let's say if you're playing at Dublin, you might put up them for half an hour, they're not going to develop you. And it's not a season on season. It has to be 3 and 5 year plans and not looking for the quick fix. And like you said it there at the start, it is about games. You want to play as many games as possible. And I know when I was playing, the worst part of intercounty was the amount of training you did for so little games. And you'd be hoping if the GAA can get this right, that there's no end to what it could be in terms of having an All-Ireland final weekend where you've the Talton Cup on a Saturday and the All-Ireland on a Sunday and making a GAA festival of it, I suppose.
Definitely. Like the thing is that there's county games the length and breadth of the country these past few weeks of challenge games or whatever you want to call them, behind closed doors, and probably some of the greatest games that could be played. And but still it doesn't have the same effect that, you know, they are essentially challenge games or build-up games for a championship. But you know, well, everyone's trying to play each other, and there's a big scramble then a couple of weeks ago, north and south, and do you want to play someone in the challenge that you could meet in the Talton Cup, and then Connacht versus Ulster, and you could meet them in a qualifier, this kind of thing, that everyone's doing it and looking for these games. Whereas, you know, if there's a fixture or structure in place there to try and help that. But again, as much as we kind of say the structure of the Talton Cup or whatever, like the ownership, a lot comes back to the counties, that there's things in place there for that development, that, you know, some counties have really good structures and things in place to be competing at that level. And it's only another wheel or cog in the machine to try and get Longford to improve or other Talton Cup teams. Like, I know we're physically probably, we've a lot of young guys, and the S&C side of things is something that's probably well behind other counties. And probably the next six months to 2 years is an area that we really need to improve on going forward. But like, there's lots of little areas that can be improved, but you'd hope with this championship draw or second tier championship that there's opportunities for improvement and development in counties.
Yeah, and you were at the launch there last week, and you probably got a chance to talk to a few of the other lads. Is there a bit of a buzz amongst the other lads playing for the other counties that they're looking forward to it, that they want to make a push for? Like, obviously, like I see there, Cavan seemed to be most people's favourites, and I suppose they got to Croke Park earlier this year in the Division 4 final. For me, looking from the outside, just a chance to get to Croke Park in a semi-final where you're playing somebody of equal standard to you in a final, and getting the chance to climb the steps of the Hogan Stand and collect silverware, like, it must be a huge ambition for so many fellas, because that's what you're on about, games, right? You dream of playing in games and big games and collecting silverware. So I was just wondering now, would there be a big buzz now amongst some of the other lads you talked to that they're buying into it and they're thinking, geez, this is a real opportunity to progress?
Yeah, like I think there is, but I think there's that hesitancy with things, that is it going to be what happened in the past? Yeah. There's an area, like, I think the big thing is it's a starting point, and it mightn't be the best fixture or best setup at the moment, but once there's area for improvement and change, that'll come, and I think that can be adjusted. No more than this year's knockout, next year is going straight into group stages, and there's games straight away, for more games for everyone. Like, I think most of the lads are kind of open to that, but I think it's how guys responded from losing the provincial championships to now. I think any team that probably put in 2-3 weeks of good training the past 2 or 3 weeks will come out with a good result this weekend. And no one actually knows where anyone's at. That's the thing. Whether it be losing your provincial or getting a clip in your provincial game or doing well in a challenge match, like, I don't think anyone knows where other teams are at until game day. And you're looking at league form, and league form is out the window at this stage because it's been so long ago and a lot has changed with maybe guys leaving panels or, you know, form dipping or injuries. So I think that's the exciting part of things. And it's probably a shame too that, look at the semi-final stages where games are going to be televised, but even the Wexford Offaly one on GA Go, it's great that there are games and there are platforms there that games can be on. It mightn't be available for everyone, or people mightn't, it's not on RTE or your main channels, but if there's opportunities there for games to be watched, whether it be on YouTube Live or whatever, that people want to see games. And as you said, people want to see tight games, like Wexford Offaly tight game at the weekend, we had finished. Everyone would love to see a 5-minute highlight package on that game. Nike McNamee hitting 1-5. They're the kind of games that you want to see. No one wants to see kind of dead rubbers where with 30-20 minutes to go that, you know, there's 7-8 points in it and it's just kind of see out the game. So look, there will be areas for improvement from every aspect, but I think it's a start and a means to go on for the likes of Longford and other counties.
Yeah, I think the main thing as well is that they actually listen to the counties that are playing and the players that are playing and want to be playing in it, because there are ways to continuously grow the competition and make it more appealing for, let's say, some of the counties that aren't buying into it. There's always ways to do it. I think if they open their ears and they actually listen to fellas and, you know, what they want games, and, you know, you want the rewards of getting to Croke Park and playing in the big games and then an All-Stars at the end of it, or, you know, something like that. Like, for me, like, the opportunities are endless, and it takes away from just being about your 4 and 5 teams at the end of the year all the time. But I suppose from your own point of view, we were chatting about it off camera, like, you have a young family now. Have you found the commitment levels changing much over a couple of years? And I suppose having the Teltine Cup now and another chance of silverware, does it make it easier, all the sacrificing? We were talking about the ice baths and the chiropractors and the physios and the recovery.
Yeah, look, at everything kind of changes and you get perspective on things a lot more. I suppose for me, I probably was lucky enough to, Australia probably gave me that perspective on things, that, you know, my reason for playing has always been family and what it gives to the family and the people that are close to you. And probably with a little daughter there, it heightens that even more. And to play a game in Croke Park and have family there, and that is something that probably it's on the bucket list before I'm finished, that to play a game in Croke Park in a Longford jersey, that's something that I really want to do. But in regards to time commitment and everything, look, we've probably and you mentioned it as well off air, that it's not the actual training, it's probably the added extras, and they're the kind of things that you kind of, you're trying to fit into your time. You know, I think less is more, and I think lads have started to realise that at intercounty, that you're not slogging away training 4, 5, 6 nights a week doing something every night. I prefer to load up on a day that you have a full day recovery or a full day off, because I think the mental load of it, it adds up if you're going every single day. So it's, you know, ice baths yesterday, chiropractor today, physio tomorrow, and then try and squeeze in a pool session or a kick in your own time. And they're all the little things that you're trying to do to get the body right. Whereas I think the younger guys just want to kick ball and you want to kick ball too, but the body mightn't let you do it as much as you want to.
Yeah, I actually always found that it was the stuff you have to do away from training, the stuff that most people don't know about and they forget about or they don't want to know about, that's the stuff that I actually find. And even I'm only playing club stuff now, and trying to be there at a certain time so you can actually warm up. And you're seeing the young lads, they don't even need to stretch anymore. They just run out there and throw their leg at it. And I'd be holding the hamstring just watching them. But it does, it takes time, and it's more time away from the family or leaving work early or whatever like that. But I was looking back, you were fortunate. You've a couple of National League titles, 2011 and 12, two in a row. Was there ever a thought back then, like, you know, that you were going to keep kicking on and maybe Leinster Championships were a goal? Because, like you mentioned, the Bardens there, like I remember playing Longford in 2009 and very lucky to get out of the game with a win.
Definitely. Like I missed 11. I came back from Australia in 12 and I got the Division 3 Championship. Mm. And like that was my first year back. And sure, Everton, you expect this is normal now, winning in Division 3 and you're pushing on in Division 2 then the following year. But I think that's where probably I find that your second tier teams battle to back it up the following year and the year after and stay at that level, that like realistically you're talking a 3 or 4 year cycle and keeping those players about for that length of time. I think we've struggled probably in the past where guys commit for a year and gone for a year and back in, or maybe 2 years and gone, and they're the kind of things that a squad, if you can't get everyone to buy in for 3+ years, then it's very hard to make those progressions. And I suppose then if you're looking at the extended panel, that those other guys can benefit from that too. And I think that's where it's been difficult to have those carrots for us to develop. Like we got up to Division 2 and I think we lost a lot of games by 2 points, 3 points here and there, and then there was a few injuries to key players at that time with Paul Barton and Decky Riley. And probably rush back, and then that kind of just heightened things then, that we were back down to Division 3 and then the following year back down to 4, that it actually knocked us back a little bit because we were kind of chasing our tails a little bit then. So it can be a bit of a roller coaster too, that I think we went up from Division 3 that year, and I think Roscommon and Cavan actually stayed there. And then the following year we went back down, they went up and they stayed in Division 1 and 2 for the following few years after that. So it's amazing too how teams' development over those few years can change. You know, we were on a downward trajectory and they were on the up and stayed up. So they're kind of all the added little things, you know, players, S&C set up, just a lot of probably stuff in the background that kind of needed to be tidied up to get guys committing for longer periods rather than just a couple of years here and there.
Yeah, and like I suppose you touched on at the start of the show, like the Tailteann Cup, it's not a one season. It has to be a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan. And look, hopefully now that there is good buy-in, and like obviously you'd be a big name in the GAA, when other fellas, I think for me, if when fellas see the attitude you're bringing to it, and I see Barry O'Hagan there recently from Down talking about it, that's what you want to see, and that's the only way to progress. Like you talked about it as well earlier, but it's all about games. It's not about the training, it's all about as many games you can play, league and championship, and obviously that carrot at the end of it, you know, getting to Croke Park, hopefully a chance of silverware, which it is a realistic chance for an awful lot of teams in the Tailteann Cup. So I'm hoping that if the GAA can really see what's in front of them and the opportunity that's there to really grow this competition and hopefully actually listen to players like yourself and just on ways to grow it and make everybody really buy into it. I just think we have an exciting opportunity to have absolutely great competitions all year round. Like,
I think so, and I think come the end of this year, whoever wins your Tailteann Cup or whatever way it goes, that I think you kind of have to tweak and change things as it progresses to try and cater for and improve. Like at the end of the day, in my eyes, I'm looking at how can maybe close the gaps and improve football in counties like Longford. And a competition like that, if it needs to be changed or adjusted to try and allow for that and allow more improvement rather than kind of the gap widening. You know, I think a holiday for finalists as well as the winners is something that on the further down the line is something that could be looked at. You know, whether it be an All-Stars or not, I don't think players, some players might buy into that a lot more. I think the big thing is that there's recognition and that it is a good standard and it is competitive, that it's not just a token competition. And I think the GAA can be seen that it's not going to be that. And as we talked about, that it's not just a competition that's ran this year. And if it doesn't go well, then throw the ties out of the pram, let's scrap it and go a different direction, that it didn't work. That, you know, I think things like this, in order to see improvement, you probably have to have a minimum of 3 years. And then further down the line, it's 5, 7, 10 years before you can actually see that long-term improvement. Like, I'm looking at guys on a minor or an under 17 county team at the moment that are in St. Mel's College, that are they interested, or is there a real, you know, do they want to play for Longford? And having something like that, okay, you know, there's a character, there's an opportunity there to play football at a high level and then maybe progress and move it on from the Tailteann Cup, that if there is a good squad or a good crop of young lads coming on, that they're willing to. Whereas in the past, I think it was very easy for guys to opt out. And there's nothing wrong with lads opting out if it's not for them. But I think if there's things in place to try and help and improve and allow for that, then I think there's more chance of guys wanting to be part of a county setup.
Yeah, like, that's what it's about. I think young lads, they want to be watching fellas in their own county, fellas they see every day of the week walking down the street or teaching or whatever, competing in big games, going to Croke Park with the possibility of winning silverware. But I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Mickey, and best of luck the weekend. And I'm really hoping that you can have a good run at it. And look, here's hoping it's a big competition now and the GA buy into it, because, like we've both saying, like, the possibilities are endless with this. And hopefully now, you've been kicking on, and we might see you in Croke Park later on in the year.
Fingers crossed. Here's hoping. Thanks a million for having me.
Well, that's all we have time for in today's show. A big thanks to Longford's Mickey Quinn for joining us today to talk about the Tailteann Cup. And a big thanks to former Cavan footballer Keen Mackey and former Galway footballer Finian Hanley for joining me in studio. Look forward to seeing you all next week, where we'll have loads more action to talk about.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
It's all over. Jim Gowan, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer. But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Kieran McCall, it's high, it's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?